this all you do? Sit around?
Jack was bored. If he was in the middle of stalking prey, he could stay silent and still for hours. But this was intolerable. Inaction, born of inertia.
We don't always hunt. It's not that kind of vill. So why don't you just kick back and go with it, Whitey? Fretting about it ain't gonna make things any different.
Jono crossed his fat legs and propped them on the table. He smiled, his scarred face smug. This man was complacent and lazy, and Jack's dislike of him was even more pronounced than before. Jack had been given a bed in the fat man's house and had been assigned to learn more about the hunters in Pleasantville. There was no way he was going to learn anything at the moment, however, as it seemed that the hunters weren't in a hunting mood. There was one thing that made him curious, however. He had believed that the fat man was actually security rather than hunter, as he had been with the party that had captured them. Hunting and working sec were different tasks, and to see Avil working the two in tandem was unusual. Something seemed not quite right here. Jack paced up and down the small room, looking out the window at the activity in the street. The air of torpor that permeated the fat man's living quarters was driving him mad. The street outside looked rich. There was a lot of Jack, a lot of trade. It was also a fairly large population, big enough to require a good quantity of game to support their appetites. Okay, Jack thought, so they made a lot out of their trading. The scrublands around that housed the farms couldn't keep this vill fed, and they had to go through a lot of game, even if they traded foodstuffs. So why weren't they hunting?
You're wondering why we're not out there chasing some muty skunk to skin it and cook it?
Jack turned and shot him a sharp glance. Was this man some kind of mind-reading muty? The fat man caught the glance and held up his hands.
Hey, ain't that what you and your weirdo friends do to get by out there?
Jack relaxed. The man was just setting him up for another insult. That he could deal with.
So when you hunt, plenty mouths feed, not much work done.
Oh, there's plenty of work that gets done. But only when the time is right. You know what I mean?
Seasons for game round here? And you hunt, Dan, keep meat preserved?
Jack knew that wasn't the answer, but he was trying to lead the fat man on. Jono grinned again, flicked his tongue over his teeth, relishing some memory that he didn't want to share.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. A season. A time when it's right, when the stakes are high. Then the hunting begins, and it keeps us fed for a whole lot longer than you'd think.
Jack had heard that sound in a laugh before, from the sick and twisted evil they had encountered on their journeys. Whatever was hunted around Pleasantville, Jack was pretty sure it wasn't for food. Ryan crouched, his body leaning slightly forward, weight balanced on the balls of his feet. In one hand he held his panga, the other was free, palm flat, to act as balance. He circled the sec chief, who was just out of arm's reach, also crouching and circling. The ghost of a smile played at the corners of the dark man's mouth, his dreadlocks swaying in rhythm with his movement. Suddenly, with the speed of a snake, the sec chief thrust himself forward, his arm twisting his knife toward the one-eyed man's gut. Ryan shifted his weight and pulled back, narrowly avoiding the corkscrew motion as he went just beyond reach. At the same time, he brought his empty hand down, the edge of his palm striking just below Grey Horse's elbow, deadening a nerve. The barest grimace crossed Grey Horse's impassive visage as the knife dropped from fingers now nerveless and numb, all feeling killed by the blow. Before he had a chance to recover and use his other arm, Ryan stepped beneath his guard and had the panga arcing toward the sec chief's jugular. Grey Horse brought his free arm up to grab at Ryan's hair and neck, but he knew that it was too little, too late. The blade stopped within a hair breadth of his neck, halted by Ryan's rock-steady arm. The sec chief could feel the rush of air on his throat, could almost taste the cold metal in his mouth.
You're not bad, but you're out of practice. I figured you'd be faster if you hadn't spent so long out of combat.
The one-eyed man dropped the blade and stepped back out of the sec chief's grasp.
Damn it, Ryan, that doesn't look good for you to do this to me in front of these guys. But I suppose that's not a bad thing. A reminder that we're slack.
You can't keep at peak fighting efficiency if there's no one to fight. It's the old problem. Training only gets you so far, unless you're willing to risk losing men. And that's just stoop. We've traveled a bit and met a lot of fuckers who'd like to see us dead. You've got your land so well sewn up that you don't get challenged.
Yeah. But how do you keep a sec force up to the task if they don't get a chance to fight? Answer me that.
Wish I could.
The two men had been talking as though they were alone. In fact, they were being watched by a number of Grey Horse's select sec guard in charge of outlying patrols around the Baron's territory. Ethan knew the problem the sec chief faced with no real combat for his men, and also that Grey Horse would welcome input from Ryan, so it had been obvious that Ethan would put the two together. The first thing the sec chief did was to arrange close combat practice. The men carried this out, watched by Ryan and Grey Horse. The two men had then staged this little display for the watching guard.
Okay, men, break now. Take a drink, loosen up. We hike after the sun reaches its height.
The sec chief led Ryan toward his shack. As they walked, Ryan raised a matter that had been giving him some pause for thought.
You probably won't want to answer this, but I've got to ask. Pleasantville is a Ridgeville, right? And yet you don't seem to be under threat from any barons that are either around here or hear about you from traders. I used to ride in convoys. I know they can talk.
Let me put it to you this way. If you were supplying something that no one else could, and if wiping you out would make that something disappear, then wouldn't that give you a kind of security, make you, I don't know, kind of untouchable?
I guess. But what could be that special?
I'm gonna have to stop there. Ethan will tell you when he's ready. I like you, Ryan Carter. But even saying this much could get me chilled. Keep your guard up and remember that whatever happens, there's only so much I can do.
The sec chief strode off. Ryan watched him go, with a strong sense of danger on the horizon.
Please, you must make yourself at home and examine what you will. I have work to do. You're perfectly welcome to join me if you wish.
Bones polished his thick-lensed spectacles and put them back on his nose, peering through them owlishly. He was sitting across the table from Doc Tanner. The table was covered in papers, both printed mechanically and handwritten, covered in stains from the strange coffee-type barley brew that the wizened man seemed to subsist upon. He had hardly spoken to Doc since the old man had arrived, merely to point out the facilities and where Doc would sleep. He'd been engrossed in a series of old manuals, trying to make an old comp work. He had still been working when Doc retired for the night, after examining the contents of several bookcases. This morning was their first chance to talk, and Doc was determined to make the most of it.
Tell me, before you become engrossed in your mission, how did you end up becoming the keeper of such a magnificent archive?
I've always been the one who was interested in pre-Doc history. I suppose it was because I was quite a weak, ill child, and when we all used to go into the old city, I'd always come back with some relic of the past. It was just something I did. To be honest with you, I don't know how I survived. It must be hardier than I appear. But when I grew up, and we started to fence off the ville, and fewer people plundered the remains, I would still go, even though I wasn't supposed to. I was useful for working with traders, as I have a better mind for Jack and Trade than anyone else I've ever met. That's not an idle boast, merely an observation. This talent kept me alive, as I would have been a liability otherwise. Physical endeavor isn't my suit, and this made me valuable to past barons.
I see. And what about Ethan?
Ethan is different. A planner and a dreamer, but also a pragmatist. He knew I was getting old, and although my brain is still sharp, my eyes aren't what they used to be. I look too vulnerable to outside traders. So I trained my successors, and he told me to build this archive, to make use of what I had spent my life amassing as a private pleasure. He has plans, you see, and some of them he has been able to put into operation. He is what the old books call an entrepreneur. He provides a unique service and a unique way of displaying it, using the old tech that I can operate for him. He's quite a man.
I'm sure he is.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I must be getting on with this. Please, avail yourself of anything here.
I will. It has been a long time since I've been able to glory in books.
Bones returned Doc's smile with genuine pleasure. He was sure he had found a kindred spirit in the old man. Doc was cautious. He waited some time, leafing through a couple of old books, before he went over to the wall of videotapes. He read the spidery writing on the labels with care. The majority of the tapes were strangely labeled Death Hunt, along with a season and episode number. Some pre-dark vid show, perhaps? He selected one that seemed to be the most recently recorded, if the numbers were any indication. He went to the doorway and checked to ensure that Bones was ensconced in a far room. The scholar was running an old tape machine. A generator outside powered electricity for his work, and Doc idly wondered how much wag fuel he used, and how important Ethan considered his work to allow such profligate usage. Seeing that Bones was immersed in his work, Doc turned and strode across the room to one of the video machines that was connected to an old television set. He tried to put the tape in, but found one already in the machine. Taking it out, he saw that it was, if the title was anything to go by, a pornographic tape. No wonder the old man's sight was so bad, he chuckled to himself. But the laughter stopped when he placed the new tape in the machine, clicked on the TV set, and let the video run, being careful to turn down the sound. As the action unfolded on the screen, Doc realized what this unique service was, and why Ethan would record it to show to visiting traders and barons. It was violent, nasty, and could have only one possible outcome. It couldn't be staged often, but it could command big jack for the bill. And Doc Tanner had the nastiest feeling that he and his companions were being set up for Ethan's next big payday.